just feel like God is just like giving a big hug this morning, but not just us each individually, but like us together. I don't know if you felt that. Some of what I'm going to talk about, Dr. Hargrave already talked about, and same with Justine. So he is working amongst us, in us, through us. Who put into practice what Carlos spoke last week? Hearing from God. Who heard from God this week? Anybody? Yeah, Selena, you want to share? Okay, if it's personal, that's okay too. That's awesome. Wow, very cool. What's encouraging, isn't it? Not only for the person Selena was reaching out to, right? But for her, yes, she does hear from God. We all hear from God. I am, for those of you who don't know, my name's Pastor Holly Thompson, and I have been pastoring here for going on 8 years with Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Turan. Pastor Jeremy and I were ordained on the same day. I still get a few texts, "Hey Holly, can you give Pastor Jeremy a message?" So anyways, we have a little room to grow there, don't we? With yep. But anyway, I want to bring the word this morning from Romans 5. Okay, so I didn't put it on the screen. You know how you might have, your house might have a smell or something, but you can't smell it, right? Because you're desensitized. We've got to be careful that when we come in here that we are not desensitized to what's going on and what's being shared. We have some excellent preaching that's happening. We have some excellent worship, and I don't want you to miss it. Okay? So we're going to lean in this morning. I know that's kind of a churchy word now, isn't it? But we're going to actually be ready and attuned to hear God, even if it's a word like Selena just said. Okay, Romans 5. So that's why I didn't put it up here. That'll be for later. You can take that down for just a sec. There you go. So turn with me to Romans 5. And we're going to start in verse 12. Therefore, are you ready? Good. Okay. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not counted against anyone when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the violation committed by Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the gracious gift is not like the offense. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many. Verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one offense, resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many offenses, resulting in justification. For if by the offense of the one death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to stop there for this morning. And let's pray, okay? Father, we welcome you in. God, speak to us, Lord. You've already been doing something this morning. Lord, we trust you that you will help us to reign in life, whether it's over fear and condemnation and sin. Lord, you have a way. Father, teach us this morning. Let it not be my words, God, but your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, did you all have a good week this week? I got called an entitled jerk this week. Yes. Anyone else? No, just me? That's okay, it's just me. Okay, so I was having lunch with Justine at the cafe, and I go to pull out, I start to drive away, and I notice there is a note attached to my windshield wiper. Okay, so I pull over, I'm like, oh, did I get a ticket or something? I didn't think I was parking in the wrong spot. So I pull over, it is a Jimmy John's napkin that reads something to this effect. You parked in the curbside pickup parking spot. How entitled are you to not walk the 10 extra steps from another space? What a jerk! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, underlined.
Wow.
Underlined. I had no idea I had parked in the wrong spot. No idea. So, okay, so I pull over, I turn around, I go back, I go inside, and I say, I'm very sorry. I parked in the wrong spot. I didn't know. I'll pay much more attention to the signs next time. You know, please forgive me. And I hand him the note, and the hostess reads the note, and she said, I'm pretty sure this didn't come from anyone in here. But okay. Even still, I wanted to try to make it right. I don't know who wrote it, but kind of looked like Dr. Hargrave's writing. She's there all the time. I'm just joking. Just joking. You were there to pick up something. I know, and I parked in your spot. Yeah. Yes. So funny. So we get these pictures. Maybe they're coming from within. Maybe they're coming from outside, like mine was this week, that we're not quite doing as well as we thought we would. Or that we should be, right? We're not quite reigning in life. You can put up that verse now. We're not quite reigning in life how God intended us to. We still have quite a ways to grow, huh? So Romans 5, all of Romans, Paul is speaking to the church at Rome. It's comprised of Jewish believers and comprised of Gentile believers. Okay, so, and they're divided. They're trying to figure out, you know, should the Gentiles be circumcised? Should they eat kosher? They're asking these questions. How do we reconcile what we used to know, the law, with now what we know in Christ? And Paul is emphasizing that it is no longer the law that we need. It is all about grace. To summarize, we are helpless, ungodly, continued in sin, enemies with God, but because of the love of God through Jesus, we are declared righteous, Amen. Saved from wrath, and reconciled back to God. And we talked about fear this morning, and we got one little guy in our house that, oh, I'm afraid of the dark. Can we try to say, hey, buddy, the love of God, let it so fill you up full that there is no room for any fear. Because Jesus did it all, his love. And just like Paul is trying to say that it's not, it wasn't Adam plus the law that caused sin, right?
That's right?
It was Adam's doing. Just like that, it's not Jesus plus the law that reconciles us, right? It is all Jesus. The law no longer has any power. The law to us means today is that we don't have to do A, B, and C to be accepted by God anymore. We don't have to do A, B, and C to be saved anymore. And we'll talk about the things that we can do this morning. I also read this as we have a choice. So he is talking to believers, so they have made that choice before, right? But for their salvation. But now there's that daily choice. Sometimes for me it feels like that moment-by-moment choice. Am I going to go with Adam's way? Am I going to let Jesus reign? Am I going to let Adam reign in me, or am I going to let Jesus reign in me? But we have the grace to make that choice, right? So that's the first part of what we're going to talk about. What is grace? Grace, free, unearned, undeserved favor of God. And I know there's people in this room that can break that down for us very well. I'm not going to do a lot of that this morning. But free, unearned, undeserved favor of God, unmerited. what you have. That's what you have. And we need it because we have a total inability to do anything to save ourselves, right? And we have a total unworthiness to be saved in the first place. And Paul was the one that talked about grace the most. You know, it's hardly mentioned in the Gospels. But Paul talked about grace a lot. And I've been studying with Joanne in Acts. Paul's conversion was amazing. Of course he talked about grace. He needed it the most.
That's right.
The word says that he agreed with Stephen's stoning, that he was going house to house looking for believers to drag them out, take them to prison, maybe killed. So this isn't just a ticket to heaven, right? Grace isn't just a ticket to heaven. Because as we just talked about, we know that Paul's speaking to believers. Yep, it's our choice. Grace is for salvation and for our daily lives. Absolutely, I believe that there is grace for your healing. There's grace for your deliverance. There's grace for your freedom. All of that has been paid for through Jesus. Now, I think, if we're honest, the pandemic has probably shooken things up a little bit for us, faith-wise. Anyone else? How could this be? Why are we suffering like this? Some of the most faith-filled people I know have gotten coronavirus. Why is this happening? But then we go to, again, to Paul, who spoke grace, you know, major proponent of it. He was still shipwrecked, right? Imprisoned many times, almost died, and then obviously he's not around today, so he did die eventually, right? What is this? What is this grace, and how does it relate to our suffering? Yes, absolutely. Like I just said, it's for our healing, for our deliverance, all of that. I like this quote from Sam Chand, who wrote Leadership Pain, a devotional. And this quote says, "Christians often have a more difficult time handling personal pain than unbelievers. They look at the promises of God and conclude that God should fill their lives with joy and love and support and success." He absolutely does do that, right? But that's reading the Bible selectively. The scriptures state clearly and often that enduring pain is one of the ways, perhaps the main way, God works deeply, God works grace deeply into our lives. How does he do it? I don't know. To be honest, I don't have a hard and fast theology about suffering. But I do know my own testimony. It was probably about 6 years ago where I had kind of a sudden onset of brain fog I call them waves, but kind of like dizziness quite often throughout the day. And I realized I have faith for about a week like that. Any longer than that, it is a crisis. So then when the week turned into a month, turned to 2 months, months and months and months, I didn't know what to do. And my friend Hannah, she goes, "Do you believe God's still good even though you're going through this?" And the truth is, at that point, I did not. It was conditional. If things are going well in my life, I had faith in God. If things were not going well, I thought he had left me, abandoned me. But as I look back now, I can see how his presence was with me. I wanted him to heal me. I still believe that he can. Please don't hear that this morning, that he can't do that. He absolutely can heal. For me, though, he walked me through steps to change my eating habits, how I was taking care of my body. That was his grace for me in those moments. And it helped my faith to go deeper. You know, we will go through things. We are going through something right now. It has a purpose. I don't always know what that purpose is, but it has a purpose. We can look back. I know we didn't read it this morning, but I'll read it for you now. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we celebrate in hope the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate our tribulations. Nobody wants to hear that, do they? We celebrate our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. We are not a people without hope. Whatever you're going through this morning, there is hope. There is hope. He is with us. If that's all we can hang on to today, that he is with us in it, that's going to be enough. Have any of you heard, Have any of you heard Son of Suffering by Maverick City Music? I'm hooked to that song right now. Any of you hear that? I'll read some of the lyrics. Blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who had reached for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Some imagine you, this is talking to God now, some imagine you are distant and removed, but you chased us down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you are grace, and the broken you embraced, and in the end the proof is in your wounds. So not only is he with us, but he has endured suffering with us. Let's talk about righteousness. That's the second part of that verse that we have access to through Jesus, is righteousness. What is righteousness? Being made right, acceptable to God. I'm sure there's a lot more we can unpack right there, but just as with grace, we're not going to dive right into that this morning, but just a little bit here. We reign because we are made righteous. Well, how are we made righteous? Pastor talked about... He reigns, we reign on Resurrection Sunday. Any of you remember that? And then we had reigning training 101. We need Dr. Hargrave for those entitled jerks. We need reigning training 201 and 301 and 401. I don't know. Keep going. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Again, absolutely undeserved. And how are we made right? I'll read Romans 4:1-5 here. It says, "Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." Amen. In faith alone there. "When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners." This is a gift. You only have to believe. That is all. Overall, this verse in Romans 4 was talking about reigning over sin and death and receiving abundant life in return. Amen? Okay, let's talk about reigning. What does it mean to reign this morning? What does it mean to reign in life? Do you know what matters? How and why we reign in life. It's part of a bigger picture that God is doing. I don't know about you, but when Pastor first presented to the staff that we were going to be focusing on reign in life this year, my first thought was, prosperity gospel again. So I grew up Methodist, so I didn't come into maybe that teaching until I was in college. And, you know, it was about, you know, the kind of car you want, kind of house you want, like kind of like getting the best parking spot. Not in the curbside pickup, obviously, but that's the last time I mention that, I promise. Yep. It was all about like me, name it and claim it. Like, you know, confess these verses, do these things, and it'll just happen. And even that, we see how that can become law and all these things that we're doing instead of resting in Christ, right? I think God's doing something with the church right now. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's bringing to the surface some of these things that have been lurking down below that are actually really harmful, right? There's several things that I can think of. There's just parts that just have not been looking like Jesus. We cannot reign except through Jesus, but when we try on our own, these things start to happen, right? So parts that don't look like Jesus, abuse. There's been a whole denomination that has been silent on abuse. Even, you know, we're participating in that too, or it could be. And then racism, white supremacy. I mean, we know that the Bible was used to colonize and to suppress groups of people. We need his grace. What about patriarchy? In my household right now, we're kind of sorting through, well, what is really God's design? Is man's rule part of the fall? Is that really his heart for people, all people? There's things we're sorting through. So when we reign, we have to reign with his character. And I think Dr. Hargrave talked about this in her message too, that we have to reign with God's character if we're actually truly reigning. So let's look more about what reigning actually looks like, what God instituted in Genesis. I believe that God is putting things back together the way they were through Jesus. So let's look at where we started. So in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.'" So that word image right there is salem. And I'm probably mispronouncing that. Any Hebrew scholars will correct me later. But salem, it means a phantom. You can go to the next slide. It means a phantom, literally, but then figuratively, a representative figure. This is an image, the word for image. So then when we translate that to the Greek, so that's on the other side, is iklon, which means icon. And Jesus used this word to describe Caesar's image on a coin. So I got this quote from Lisa Sharon Harper. I'd really recommend her book, The Very Good Gospel. But she is making the point that it actually could mean that we serve as markers of where God rules. That is what being an image bearer could look like. And in Genesis 1, I don't know if you all knew this, but I'm just discovering this, but Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 were actually very likely to be written by two different people, two different people groups. So there is some overlap, but then there's some different takes on Genesis, the creation story in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. So what Genesis 1 was written by priests, who it's actually written 400 years after Genesis 1, and it is about the people had been exiled, they had been already enslaved and were escaping. And so what Genesis 1 is saying is that reign is not just for kings and queens. They're saying that reign is for everyone. Absolutely all of humanity bears the image of God. And then let's go to Radah, rule, have dominion, dominate, tread down. But in context of Genesis 1, we see God set boundaries around light, darkness, days, and each part of creation. Rada here may mean more about God giving humanity the role of stewardship of creation more than royal rule. Does that make sense how we got there? Yep. Okay. So then let's look at Genesis 2. Where Genesis 2 doesn't actually say the word dominion or rule, but it gives us a great picture of what dominion and rule is supposed to look like, right? So Genesis 2:15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. So what does to tend mean? Go to the next one. Tend, abba, to serve, and then watch over, shamar, to protect. So our rule and reign should look like stewardship, to serve and protect. And then if we keep reading in Genesis 2, the next part is God gave man the ability to name things. You know, when we named our children, it was a very intimate, relational kind of act. And so Lisa Sharon Harper in her book is making the point that that to name something gives you that relational connection. So our relationship not only to God and to each other, but also to creation, is one that's relational, not just a, what's another word for it? Not just a task, but an actual act of love and deep knowing. And God calls all of this very good, and it's not just each thing is very good, but each thing is very good in relationship to one another. And then we know the rest of the story, that Adam and Eve sinned, that caused separation not only between God, but between people, between creation. So I think it is important how we treat each other. If we each bear the image, to slap someone is to slap the face of God. To mistreat creation is not to serve and to protect it when we just use and consume. When humanity begins to rule with self-interest rather than to serve and protect all of creation, things go awry, right? So if we are to reign, we need to reign with the heart of God, right? The heart of God. Jesus' reign is sacrificial, emptied of self, and good for all. Have you identified this about yourself? I'm just on this journey. But when I am in a power struggle, when I'm trying to reign on my own behalf, it looks like yelling at my kids. Yelling is fake power, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Fake power. Talking over someone, interrupting, being the first to speak at a meeting. I don't have to have all of the answers. But sometimes I think I do, and I act like I do. Looks like manipulation. And for me, I'm a hopefully in recovery, a passive-aggressive communicator. All things that I'm trying to get power rather than reign, serving, and protecting. Love shares power. As I mentioned, I'm reading Acts with Joanne, and the first church is a great picture of what this could look like here and now. Yes, they had their flaws, but everyone was sharing things. There was nothing of mine, like you just talked about. There was no iPhones, me phones, any phones actually, but no, it wasn't. Wasn't based on their own self-interest. But operating in this reign will require you to use your voice, right? We call that agency. When you use your voice to stand up for what's right, how are we going to use the power that God has given us? How are we going to use the rule and the reign that God's given us? Will we take a stand for those that maybe can't on their own? Will we intentionally place power in the hands of people that need us to share some of ours, right? So as we get ready to close this morning, let's take a few moments, let this sink in for just a second. We absolutely need Jesus to reign. We absolutely need Jesus for our own lives, but we absolutely need Jesus to help us be the markers of how God is ruling and reigning in our world. My prayer is that each of you would reign in life, and my prayer is that we would figure out together how we reign, and then that we would care deeply about seeing the rest of the world reign. All of creation doing well. We've stewarded it well. And just like with my story, I was talking about how God's grace for me when I wasn't feeling well was to teach me how to steward my body better. Maybe we need to start there too. Yes, we can trust Him for miraculous healings, but look, we also trust Him to help us to eat well and to exercise and do all those things that we know we should. I think what I hope that we get out of this message is that we are living epistles. So we're a living letter of what God's doing. That He would be writing with our lives what's possible for the rest of the world. So that He would be using our lives to speak. He would be using our mouths to speak also. What kind of rule and reign should be happening here in the earth? Like I said earlier, we have a choice, right? We have a choice to accept His salvation. And if there's anyone in here today that isn't sure where they stand with God, I want to make sure that we pray for you. But then we're going to take some time just to ask God to give us His grace to be able to do the things that He's asked us to. He is well able. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to say the right prayer. We're going to take a few moments, just you and the Lord, about how He wants you to reign. Maybe today it is fear that's dragging you down, and you need some time to say, God, I trust You. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why we're going through this, but I trust You, Lord. I am a person of hope. You have given us hope. I don't know what it is, but my hope is in You alone. Father, thank You for Your presence here this morning. God, would You wrap us in Your arms, each individually, but us together, Lord. How do we be Your heart in this world, God? Lord, would You show us what things to uproot? Lord, would You change our mindsets from an Adam-like domination and rule to a Christ-like domination and rule, one that serves place our life in your hands. How good is the gift of God, that it's totally unearned, unmerited favor that you've given us. In Jesus' name. Do is have that time with God, and then I will ask if anybody would like to accept Jesus this morning. I want to make sure we do that, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of time for you to sort out between you and the